Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mad Hotep to everyone. Welcome to another special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be here with you. We are using this time period, family, to close out, of course, Black August 2020. And also, one of the things that we started this year as a part of National Black Business Month, we've now kind of added on National Self-Determination and Business Month. So we're closing those two things out tonight, but in doing so, linking it to some of the new upcoming national and also international programs, initiatives that is being spearheaded by the original Million Woman March. Now is the time, family. That's what our theme of focus is. Now is the time. As we now look at raising up the mother of civilization 2020 to 21 and Africa Unite. Now, we always talk about unity, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of ways that people are suggesting that that is going to happen. Well, MWM definitely has at least some suggestions, maybe not the solution all the way, but definitely we feel some viable suggestions, and we're going to start conveying it to you. Now, in a few weeks, you're going to get introduced to what we call the Black Print 2020 to 25. We began to implement it in 2017, but only in little segments. Well, this year, as part of the Million Woman March 23-year anniversary, we will begin to really kick it out there. For the next 2 years, you're going to see and hear the Black Print 2020 to 25 in such a way that you're going to know and recognize who and what the original historic Million Woman March is really about. With our Million Black Women Rising Federation and all of the other new components that we're going to be bringing to you, you are really in for a treat, and you deserve it. You most certainly do. Looking at all that's going on right now, it's time to see some real serious kinds of things. Again, want to give a shout out when we talk about real and serious to those brothers and sisters, whoever you are, who have really held it down, as they say, but, you know, not just held it down, but have lifted us up, you know, with your work, with your commitment. I mean, so many, you know, people have fallen, as they say, to the wayside, I guess you could say. So many have fallen off, period, have become so involved in this system to the degree that, you know, they're trying to push it. Not something that, okay, yeah, we have to deal with it. But, you know, to really start pushing this system as if it's something that we really need to be believing in or whatever, I mean, that's just unbelievable. But nevertheless, we know that this is what they do, this is what they're going to do, and it is up to us to resist, absolutely resist. With that said, family, we're going to give you tonight some information. Again, this is a special edition. It's not a program where we're going to do a lot of talk with people or guests or calls in, things of that nature. We want to give you some reports. We want to give you some insight and information about MWM. Now, we selected today for several reasons. Well, for those that do not know, this is actually the official day for the founding of the UNIAACL. Shout out to all of our family members who are a part of the UNIA. Much love and respect to you all. So this is the founding day, August 31st. But the other reason why we selected this day is because here in Philadelphia, something happened, I guess, 102 years ago. Yep, Madam C.J. Walker, and I know many of you have heard the name, of course you have, but what you probably don't know about Madam C.J. Walker, at least some don't, is how she was definitely an activist, or at least supported those who were. Many know that she obtained the status or the $1 million, actually the first, not just the first black woman, the first white woman, of any women rather, to obtain $1 million. But in her case, it was independent. Every other woman that obtained $1 million had inherited it, but not Madam C.J. Walker. She created her own capability to obtain her own money. We say that's self-determination without a doubt par excellence. Well, many say, well, you know, she created the straightening comb. Well, first of all, she didn't create the straightening comb. Yes, she did use the straightening comb, as many women did at that time, but she didn't create it. And certainly that was not how she made her money. She made her money from her products. That's right, her line of products. And by the way, as the legend goes, she had a dream. This is what she said in her writing. She had a dream, and the dream was a big black man. And the big black man came to her and told her what compound to put or what ingredients to put in her hair treatment, okay, because, you know, during that time, black women were having problems with their hair, with their scalp, breakage, things of that nature, and she wanted to find a way to help them manage their hair a little better, and she did. And so, again, she created products to help with hair growth, to help with scalp problems, and so forth. Well, we looked at that, and we said, you know what, we want to address the issue of this woman being able to do something so profound, and again, taking her money and contributing it, donating it to many, many different types of causes, including the anti-lynching, including you know, the fight for freedom, the fight for justice. We're talking about 1918, and by the way, In August 31st, 1918, Madam C.J. Walker held her first what she called beauty culturalist convention. Yep, she called it beauty culture. She held the convention here in Philadelphia on August 31st, 1918, and trained approximately 200 black women to become what was then called the Walker agents. They were saleswomen that sold her products. They were saleswomen, or some of them was also beauticians. They were all trained. And so she created a kind of a little army, which is what MWM is in the process of doing now, creating an army. And so, again, she was the, you know, of course, there was another sister who did something very similar. Annie Malone, I believe her name was. But again, we're talking about in terms of being an activist, in terms of taking that money and also putting it towards the whole idea of us getting justice and freedom. And so again, with Madam C.J. Walker, she is one of our sister saints. MWM created in 2017, officially made 20 women our sister saints. And so this year, we begin to now put that into a formula. And so you're going to see, starting this year, some of our educational items, the educational items that will talk about the lives, the legacy, etc., of our 20 sister saints. Okay? So stand by for that. We're going to be bringing that to you in a couple of months as well. Now, going back to Madam C.J. Walker, one of the things that we want to do here, or are doing here in Philadelphia, is working towards having a plaque put up in her honor, of Madam C.J. Walker's honor. Now, the church is what's known as Union Baptist Church. It's located here in Philadelphia at 19th and Fitzwater, right in the heart of bunch of gentrification. That area was all black years ago. Well, now Ooh-wee, it looks like something like maybe 30%. Anyway, the church is still there. And it is the church that Marian Anderson also attended. For those who don't know, of course, Marian Anderson was the great opera, I won't say singer, but certainly the person who, in terms of black, was able to demonstrate the art form known as opera. Okay, she was legendary, needless to say, but she attended the church, Union Baptist Church, and there is a kind of sign outside of the church that does, you know, mention that this is the church that that she sang in the choir and certainly attended and so forth. But interestingly enough, there's nothing there whatsoever that talks about Madam C.J. Walker. And so when I called the Union Baptist Church several years ago, because I was doing research on Madam C.J. Walker and was able to find a photo of her being at the church, in front of the church, with her 200-plus, what was known again as the Walker agents. There's this picture there, right in front of the church. But when I called the church to see if they had any other photos or any other kinds of documents or whatever, they had nothing. In fact, they were not even aware that she had been there 100 years ago. But they were very, very responsive and loved the idea, excuse me, of doing something to commemorate Madam C.J. Walker. And so this year we are forwarding to the City Council of Philadelphia and also others, because we want to see some recognition, a plaque or something put up at the Union Baptist Church like they have for Marian Anderson. We want something for Madam C.J. Walker, because she is in fact listed as the first black woman millionaire, period. Okay, and the first woman to be independent to obtain $1 million. And so she deserves the kind of recognition that black folks need to give her, not other people, that we need to give her. And so again, this day, August the 31st, marks when Madam C.J. Walker was here in Philadelphia holding her first convention. It was called the Black Beauty Culturalist Convention. Okay, so we'll keep you posted on that as we now issue a demand to the City Council, also the Pennsylvania Historical Society, and other entities to make certain that this time next year it should be a wrap, or close to it, that something should definitely be accomplished. Okay, that was just one of several things that we wanted to report on for tonight. And moving right along, we want to also mention to you that MWM now has a African Historical Preservation Society. Along with that, we have independent, oh, in fact, all of what we're talking about is independent, by the way. And we did that intentionally because we did not want to have to fall under or follow other folks' guidelines or what have you. Anyway, along with our African Historical Preservation Society, we also have a Black History Program, as well as a Black Women's History, and also an African Women's Studies Program. Yes. You know, MWM has worked diligently over the years, and so now we're going to present to you some of what we've been doing in these 23 years. It was never about a march, just having a march or an event. It was about building a global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide, and we have now done that, by the way. For those of you who have not seen my latest interview, it was done with one of the Iranian news TV channels, and it was very, very good, and we will be doing some other ones as well. again, building a global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide that is positioned now in ways I can't even begin to describe, to make certain that the real justice and the real freedom for our people is now not only in our midst, but will be obtained. That is what we've been working for over these years, to assure that we can now see the kinds of victories that we need to not only see, that we not only need to feel, but that we can also sustain. That has been a very big problem with being able to be successful or being able to make some strides in the struggle for justice and freedom. And that is the capability to maintain that. Because usually, as soon as these people see us moving forward, they create something that enables us to be put in a position to move backwards or in such a way that it lessens the victories that we've been able to obtain. Well, we figured that out, and so now we're going to do something about it. And so, again, with NWM, we are making certain that people know who we are, what we are, and why. And again, for the record, we are not advocating or embracing or pushing the line of the so-called feminist, movement or ideals or whatever. Just because we say that we are about our women and girls in terms of our mission, that is not to say that we fall into or under the auspices or concept or ideas of this thing known as feminism. No, that is not us. And at some point in the very near future, we will go more in depth as to why we've taken that position and why we feel very, very strongly about Black women who call themselves or who strive to be so-called feminists. That is not what we are here to do. Our focal point is about being Black women and not falling under any type of structure or concept or whatever that has been put forward by other women, period. With that said, we will later on be introducing to you some concepts that do fall a little more, from an academia standpoint, because we know that that's where some people are going with these ideas of, women's studies, that's when we say feminism, we're talking about focusing on being woman-centered, for lack of a better terminology. And so, in your academia or your scholastic world, certainly there is a field of study that does focus on women. We get that. We got that. But here's what I also got about that in doing somewhat of a research over the years, and it is, what do these departments really teach? And what part of that is Black? Meaning, what part of the instruction or the curriculum focuses on Black women? Now, every year, March is Women's History Month, and there's a whole month that focuses on women, and not just the Women's Studies department, but other groups also focused on it being Women's History Month. Why do you think that the largest gathering in the world of women has really not been put on their program, agenda, or anything? Not even an honorable mention in most cases. Why do you think that is? Well, if you don't know, I certainly have no problem in telling you that the Million Woman March is something that they don't want people to know about. And when I say they, I'm talking about Black folks, be them of no color or be them of color. They don't want it to be known that Black women were able to do something without the elite, without the corporations, without the politicksters, without the regular stuff that usually goes with being able to bring a million people together, or 5,000, I mean 500,000. There's usually some alliances that have been made and some other deals that have been made. Well, I can tell you, if any deals were made about the Million Woman March, it certainly didn't come through the national office, and certainly didn't come through the executive founding office, okay? And so the point being, to be able to do something like that without the approval or without the direct linkage to these nationally known groups, organizations, or what have you, that, that most people identify with, you know, that I tend to say, you know, have a very Negro kind of posturing. Bottom line, they don't want people to know that a black woman started something. No organization already in place, no whole lot of money, no political ties, that a black woman, one black woman, was able to maneuver in such a way and ultimately reaching out to or connecting to thousands nationwide through an underground network. That is how the Million Woman March was done, and most don't know how it was done. They only either surmise or they have bits and pieces of it, but certainly not to any degree that they really were able to grasp and understand it. They still can't. At any rate, 2.5 million, well, we're going to now make certain that that's recognized appropriately, because in this day and age, what we realize is if we do not make our positions clear, other people will dismiss you or create something that makes it seem like it was them. And we've experienced both of those things. So now we are very clear and very adamant about changing it. Therefore, you're going to hear and see more from the Million Woman March and what we call now its universal movement. With that said, we charge Genocide 21. Yep. Well, we're now going to see who is really serious about the issue of human rights violations as it pertains to our people. Now, on September the 26th, we invite you to join us. We will do a press briefing and a community briefing in Washington, D.C. We're not sure if it's going to be at Malcolm X Park or Lafayette Park. It'll be at one of them, or both. We don't know yet, but definitely in Washington, D.C. Now, this is strategic for several reasons, because we will be taking information about our We Charge Genocide 21 project. We'll be taking that information to some of the embassies in Washington, D.C. Those embassies will definitely include Cuba, Ghana, Venezuela, also any of the recognized, I don't believe they have embassies, but we will be getting letters to some of the recognized indigenous nations. We will also be taking it to the Embassy of Palestine, and did I say Cuba already? At any rate, these are nations, countries, peoples that black folks, groups, organizations have supported over the years. Oh, by the way, South Africa, i.e. Azania. We have supported these various groups, these various nations, when it came to their plights. Well, now, in the 21st century, we are turning to them and asking them to support our position that this government has inflicted genocide upon us for over 400 years, and of course continue to do so to this day. But now we are pledging to officially charge this government with crimes against humanity, and during the next 3 to 5 years, we will have documented, we will have testimonies, we will have done various types of things to officially formally file the charges of crimes against humanity, i.e. genocide against this government and others, okay? Because there were others who were also involved in the human rights violations that had been inflicted upon our people. Now, MWM position is we have a formula, as we have for many things, but you'll hear the formula of R4. R4 makes reference to how we will be proceeding in obtaining remedies. Remedies, as you know, is both a legal term and also a medical one. And given the fact that our people has suffered excruciating mental and physical pain, suffering, and so forth, we must now become restored. We must now become repaired, etc. And so we look at remedies in the form of reparatory, restitution, restitution, and restorative justice. Again, our remedies will fall in the realm of reparatory, restitution, retribution, and restorative justice. And so the one that most probably are not as familiar with, and we will be doing classes and trainings for those who wish to be advocates and activists in our We Charge Genocide 21 program. But for those who are not familiar with the term retribution, there is a legal term and a legal action that's relevant to retributional justice. And so that gets into what's known as punishment. So we are saying that now in our campaign, in our program, because when cops kill us or law enforcement people who are employed, who are to represent this government, if they kill us unjustifiably, which is 9 times out of 10 the case, then they need to be punished. And so our We Charge Genocide, our remedies, our demands now go into there has to be retribution. Retribution in the context of punishment, you see. And so we've added that into our formula, into the whole idea of reparatory just or justice, period. Okay? And so we're going to be doing classes and, again, other kinds of dialogues and so forth in that regard. And so you can stay tuned for that. You can also contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will certainly send you information about upcoming classes for the We Charge Genocide 21 and, of course, the National Black Human Rights Movement. Now, on that note, as of today, membership has begun our membership drive for the National Black Human Rights Movement. We encourage you to join this movement. It is $50, the annual fee, and so you can be a part of it in an active way, or you can just, you know, be a member in terms of support. Either one is fine. And again, it is a $50 annual donation. You will get newsletters, you'll get reports, you will get discounts on merchandise, things of that nature. You'll be the first to get other kinds of information, VIP information, and so forth and so on. Okay? And so, again, today kicks off the National Black Human Rights Movement membership. And I thank you to Sister Manira Bomani, who has become one of our first members. And as of tomorrow, you will be able to go online. And actually, you can go online now to become a member. And also, you can go there to make sure you put your name in for the letter of intent. That letter of intent is going to be going to the United Nations in December, on or around December 10th of this year. December 10th is International Human Rights Day. And so we will be going to the United Nations to take our first 1,000,000 signatures to the United Nations with what we call the letter of intent. The letter of intent will merely state that we are in the process of preparing to file formal charges against the United States and others for the crimes of against humanity, i.e. genocide against people of African descent in in the United States. Okay. So again, if you are interested in becoming a member, or you want to put your name on the letter of intent that will be taken to the United Nations, you can go to cbpm.org. Again, cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. Okay? Again, cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. Okay, so now, with that said, you can also go there and make a donation. You can just push that. It's ready for you. Of course, you can use either Cash App or PayPal. And again, if you go to that website, you will be able to do it directly at the website. That's our connective entity, the Collective Black People's Movement, is hosting that site for us. And so it is black folks, period. That's not going to a third party. That is going directly to us. Again, that's cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. Okay, next thing. We want you to know that tomorrow, September 1st, is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Yep. So MWM is committed to making certain that we do more in our communities nationwide as it pertains to the sickle cell anemia disease, which primarily hits black folks. Why are we not having in our communities more information about something that has historically inflicted or been inflicted upon us? And so MWM recognizes that, and starting tomorrow, we will start sending out information about sickle cell all over the country by way of internet, by way of texting, and other avenues. We want to make certain that our people know more about this disease and some of the signs, some of the historical information, and also what types of treatments. Now, sickle cell, there is no cure that we know of at this point. We have heard that, you know, there are doctors, even in Africa, that are working on it. But there are some kind of medications that do help to alleviate some of the pain, because this is, from what we're told, a very painful, painful disease, particularly for children. And so we want to make certain that we are able to create a network now nationwide, as well as to make certain that we're able to provide information. We no longer want to leave it up to the various local entities. because all over the country, we've researched this too, there are different sickle cell groups in various cities. Well, I can tell you about the one here in Philly, in the tri-state area. I can tell you that it's not very visible. Of course, you know, their primary focus is to service the families, you know, that of course, you know, have this dreadful disease. But it would still behoove us as a people to make certain that, you know, information is put out there to a greater extent. And so particularly from what I've read and researched, it's important that our people know that if you have sickle cell in your family, you need to be careful or at least aware of you know, who you might mate with. That if for whatever reason you do have a mate or someone does have a mate that also has sickle cell in their family, you know, there is a possibility, a greater possibility of the disease being passed on to the children if they were, in fact, to, you know, have that kind of relationship. But this is information that people need to know. And it's not to try to scare anyone or to, you know, have anyone to be turned off by it, but it certainly is stuff that people should be informed about. And again, you know, just know what it is that, you know, has been proven to be, you know, a reality. And so we feel that it is incumbent upon us as a people to make certain that information is made more readily available. And so we plan to do that. Okay, moving right along, one of the other topics that we wanted to bring to your attention, of course, with this closing out of Black August. You know, Black August is, of course, the month that many all over the country focus on prisons, the prison industrial complex, prison reform, juvenile injustice, and things that are relevant to that whole system of not only oppression, but again, in many instances, human rights violations, to say the least. At any rate, here in Philadelphia, Mumia Abu-Jamal, certainly, I believe 38 years now, well, you know, it's time. That's all I can say. And Black folks in Philly, unfortunately, for the most part, dropped the ball years ago in terms of really fighting for his freedom. Well, now is the time to rekindle that and to now do whatever is necessary in order to have Mumia to be freed. He is not only innocent, but he has suffered severely while being incarcerated, as many are aware, between diabetes, between glaucoma, between, you know, just so much has happened, hepatitis C. It's time for Mumia to come home, 38 years. I mean, it's time. It's past time. And so Black folks have to now become more involved. I'm talking about Black folks here in Philadelphia because, again, we have to rebuild our communities. And in rebuilding our communities, that means to have a commitment to do things in the community that is relevant to our well-being as well as our history and the other things that really make a community, okay? Just because you live somewhere and there's a larger number than somebody else, that doesn't make you a community. No. There are other actions and interactions that create a community, and that has dissipated to a great extent here in Philadelphia. So people live in neighborhoods or live in areas, but it's not a cohesive community of Black folks. There are a few groups here in Philly that do function as such, but to what degree, well, needless to say, it is very sad what has happened. And again, not just Philly, other cities as well. But big shout out to folks in Atlanta, because Atlanta be doing some stuff. Even though they got some crazy stuff going on there, Atlanta be doing some stuff. Folks in New York also. And so, you know, there's a few places where you can kind of see and hear of some certain types of consistent and powerful kinds of things. I look for the progressive kinds of actions, because, you know, there's always going to be this, that, and the other. But when you see people really being and doing some other kind of stuff that is progressive, radical, or whatever adjective you want to give it, and I think we're going to have to come up with a new one, because people are using progressive now in a way that is, I'm like, no, I don't want to be really too associated with the way they're talking about it, and some other kinds of words, you know, connected to radical also. I mean, you know, again, you know, the radical thing has gotten into the connectiveness with other people and their ideologies. Anyway, you know, I tend to avoid all of that, because I know we're more creative than that. And so at some point, you know, I'll be introducing some other kinds of things, I'm sure. But at any rate, Mumi Abu-Jamal, there is going to be, as of today, available, you know, a position. We want to know from Black folks in Black communities, so-called Black communities, what is your position? Should Mumia be free now, given all of what has happened, given the fact that they not only hid evidence, but manipulated it? Not only knew that he was innocent, but had information that pretty much proved it. You know, so at this stage of the game, he must be freed now. So we just want to know, in the community, who thinks that? Who else believes that? Who else is willing to fight for that? So again, starting today, you will be able to get kind of a little questionnaire that asks, is it time for Mumia to be free? And if so, are you willing to do something to help make that happen? Real simple. Okay? So again, if you'd like to get that form to just help us to kind of do a survey, or help us to better gauge, you know, what people are thinking or preparing to do in our community, again, you can get that by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And this is geared specifically to Black folks in Philly. Okay? Next topic. Let's see, what did we have next here? We have several topics for you. Okay, hold on one moment. Let's see. Oh, I forgot to mention, along with Madam C.J. Walker, the other campaign is in regards to Mother Harriet Tubman. Yep. We're coming up on Harriet Tubman bicentennial. Yep. And so we are going to be doing something for the next 2 years. And the reason is because there is kind of a debate about the actual year of her birth. And some said it was 1820. And then the other historians said it was 1821. Okay, the family says 1820, and again, there's some historians that say 1821. So what we've decided to do was to do 2 years, okay? And so starting this year, we have already began to implement certain kinds of programs, but certainly we're getting geared up for Harriet Tubman Freedom Day, which of course will be December 6, 2020. That is the actual day that we know she arrived in Philadelphia after escaping from Baltimore, or the Baltimore area, Baltimore, Maryland, into Philadelphia. And so we're gearing up now to do something on December 6th in commemoration of her. And at that point, we
some of the other programs or projects that is relevant to her, Harriet Tubman, the bicentennial. Okay.
All right. Let's see if there was anything else. There certainly, I'm sure, is that we wanted to convey to you as we come into September. We want to remind you that we will also be observing the assassination of Stephen Biko. With that said, today launches a special membership for the BBBCO. The BBBCO is now an official unit of the Million Woman March Universal Movement. It is our association, our national association for beauticians, barbers, braiders, and cosmetologists. And that makes up the BBBCO. And so starting today is our new membership, national membership for the BBBCO. And starting this week, we begin to promote those who are, again, in the business of what Madam C.J. Walker called it, beauty culturalists, those who are in that business in terms of servicing and grooming, be it haircut, be it, hair, some form of hair creativeness, of course, locks care, what have you. Also, of course, the cosmetology portion of that deals with other aspects of your face in particular. And so, again, we are going to have this new membership because today's cosmetologist also deals with spa treatments, and that can be facials, that can be massages. All those kinds of things go with the spa as well as, you know, under the idea of being a cosmetologist. And so, again, today begins the BBBCO. It's a national membership. We are looking to get members from all over the country. And this membership drive starts today and will end December the 23rd, I believe it is, which takes us to Madam C.J. Walker again, okay? So we'll tell you more about that as well. Okay, let's see. What's next on the agenda? Okay, of course, October, we are looking at Million Woman March 23. And Million Woman March 23 this year is going to be very, very significant. We will once again do our International African Women Solidarity Day that will take place October the 25th, which is on a Sunday, and it will be worldwide. Our women will be gathering. Some will be in prayer. Some will be dealing with rallies. Some will be doing other kinds of healing circles. And again, it's a full day, 24 hours. Worldwide. Our focal point is both the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls, but also healing. We must, as a people, begin to heal. And so, again, October 25th is African Women Solidarity Day, and what we call the Women in White, the African Women in White Gather. And so for those who do have a rally or some march or some other kind of program, we're asking that they wear white, okay? And we'll be giving more information about that very, very soon as well. For those who are interested in becoming coordinators, no matter what city, no matter what state, no matter what country, we certainly invite you to do so. Organize the sisters in your community to join us. One day, together, what a powerful thing that is, African Women's Solidarity Day. Again, there'll be a virtual program October 25th that will, in fact, commemorate the historic Million Woman March's anniversary. And so, again, we're asking women to do something on that day make certain that you do something that is specifically for our women in particular, but also anything that's relevant to us healing as a people. Again, we'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come, but if you want to get involved now, we certainly invite you to do so, be it coordination, be it make a donation, be it a partner, what have you. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will certainly love to hear from you. Okay, speaking of MWM, we're putting a call out again to sisters who are writers, particularly right now poetry, because MWM is now moving towards publishing some of our own books, publications, and we're looking for sisters who want to contribute some of their writings, poetry in particular, along those lines. The first books will be that of poetry, but also we're looking to do a couple of cookbooks. So for those who have a dynamite recipe, it has to be healthy though, we want to make sure we're able to give our people information again that is going to be advantageous. And so if you are a Black woman, you have a natural healthy food that you prepare that is off the hook, well, and you want others to know about it, then please feel free to let us know. And again, you can send that to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will definitely give you more information. And let me see. What else do we have here? Oh, I forgot. Today, evaluation cards become available. Card, sheet, whichever you prefer, depending on how you get it. If you get it through the email, then it's just a kind of a sheet. At any rate, here in Philadelphia, again, we are using it as a model to move forward a bit more progressively. And with that, to hold some of these people accountable. Yep, we're talking about Black selected, as our brother Alton once said, Black elected, selected officials, people that we call leaders in our community. Well, it's time that we give them some form of a grade or at least a rating. And so we are doing that now. So as of today, you can get a form or a card that, you know, ask you about several of the so-called Black elected officials at this point. We're going to do leadership thing a little later on, maybe February for Black History Month. But for right now, since election time is coming, we want to know what do people think about some of these people who are now in office. And we're not focusing on the white ones because we already kind of know what that's about. But we want to see what you think about the Black folks, those who have been in office more than one term, okay? So, again, if you are interested in getting an evaluation form, by all means, email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. And by the way, family, you can feel free to make a donation using our Cash App, which is $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. Okay, I think we might have covered everything that we need to cover. I just want to remind everyone that, again, the Million Black Women Rising Federation membership drive is coming along with our brothers in support. That's an important cadre for the sisters. We have to have our brothers. And so, again, we now have that ready for you. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. This was a special edition of New Day. It was to begin to do what we're going to do on a regular basis, and that is to use our platforms to make certain that you are able to get ongoing updates, as well as documenting some of the things that we're doing and making certain that you have access to that information at any time. So remember, once we do our live broadcast, it goes into the archives. You're able to access it at any time. And so we want to remind you, we're taking 400 people at least to New York, to the United Nations. It is a ceremonial kind of thing. It is a formal kind of thing to some degree, but certainly it is to make certain that the world begins to see and know that we are serious, that we are preparing to make certain that the charges of genocide is not dismissed, is not falling on deaf ears, and that our ancestors, from Mother Callie House to Malcolm X, these are people that we know either did some filings, was preparing to do some filings, or talked about the issue of reparations, compensation, justice, etc., for the enslavement that our people were, you know, just, oh my gosh, when I think about it, it just, whew, the things that have happened to our people over these years and how it was just so acceptable, it was just a part of the culture and still is in this country. Anyway, family, we're going to close this out. And again, this was to bring you a report. This was to give you some updates. Next Saturday, or this Saturday, we will be giving you some information about several things. One of our brothers, of course, has been incarcerated, and there is a fundraiser program that is for him, so we will give you that. We're going to also have the report on Saturday about what's going on in Louisiana. We were supposed to do that on our radio program this past Saturday, but unfortunately, when the sister called in, there was some problems with her getting through. So we figured out, you know, how to get her in for this Saturday. We're going to talk about the recent murder there in Louisiana, in Lafayette, I believe it's called, Louisiana, the murder there. We'll be reviewing that and see what's going on with it now. But we will also be talking with Sister Khadija as it pertains to her own grandson, who was found dead while in police custody. And, of course, they're saying that he committed suicide. And, by the way, of course, again, they're saying that there's a young brother here in Philadelphia that also committed suicide, so they say, by hanging. We will be sending a letter to the police commissioner to see if there's any updates in that particular case. The family is very adamant about the fact that, you know, they said, no way, he did not suicide. All right, family, we're going to close this out. We thank you all again for your support. And moving right along, we will be getting ready for tomorrow as we now have, what is it? Oh, $2 Tuesday, okay? $2 Tuesday. All right, family, again, we thank you. And remember, Pomoja Tudishinda, together we shall win. And we're out.